KJAN Sports.
It is time for that check of sports this morning. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. A busy evening in cross country last night as qualifying meets were held in all classes coming up for the state cross country championships. Taking a look at those state qualifying meets yesterday, first in class 3A at Glenwood on the girls' side, Harlan, Glenwood, and Atlantic, the top three teams, and they all qualify for state. Harlan with 58 points, Glenwood and Atlantic each with 70 points. Jeanette Schraft of Glenwood tops the top 15. They're the qualifiers for state individually. Taylor McCready of Atlantic placing second. Also for Atlantic, Pluma Pross was eighth and Carson Rush was 15th. Some other area qualifiers include Brielle Baker of Creston, Reagan Anderson of Denison, Braylon Baker of Creston, Kaya Beaker and Gracely Castor of Harlan, along with their teammates Reagan Wicks and Liv Friend. Glenwood's Paige Davis and Lacey Jackson also qualifiers from the girls' side. On the boys' side, the team qualifiers, Gilbert, Atlantic, and Glenwood. Gilbert with 32 points won the team title. Atlantic, the runners-up with 87, Glenwood 89 for third. Tyler Reese of Gilbert was the individual champion. Atlantic had three individual qualifiers as well. Jalen Peterson, who placed fifth, Evan Brummer, who was ninth, and Bradley Dennis, who was 14th. Also among the qualifiers, Trey Gross of Harlan, Kemper Catholic's Tyler Putney, and also from Glenwood, Payson Covington and Sam McIntyre both qualified as well. 2A meet was held at Panorama yesterday, hosted by Panorama High School. The team qualifiers on the girls' side, Panorama, Shenandoah, and Albia. Among the individual qualifiers, Ella Waddle of Panorama, who won the title, Tori Castle of Trainer, Alexa McCunn of Red Oak, Peyton Beckman of Panorama, Noel James of Trainer, Alicia Steffen of Panorama, Gwen Steffen of Panorama, Brenna Godfried of Shenandoah, Claire Campbell of Shenandoah, and Ashlyn Eberle of Clarinda all finished in the top 15 to qualify. On the boys' side, it was Roland Story, Des Moines Christian, and Albia, the top three teams. Individual qualifiers include Jerry Jorgensen of Trainer, who was the champ in that meet yesterday. Also, his teammate Derek Thompson qualifies, placing fourth. Baylor Bergren of Red Oak, Bryce Patton of Underwood, and Jack Campbell of Shenandoah also were in the top 15. Also at a different location at the Unity Christian qualifying meet, Jordan Hustak of Missouri Valley qualified in Class 2A as he placed third overall in the individual race. In 1A action yesterday, ACGC hosting that. On the girls' side, Earlham, Tri-Center, and ACGC, the top three teams. They qualify for state. Individual qualifiers include Peyton Poggy of Tri-Center, who was the champ yesterday, Emma Lucas of Bedford, Kate Crawford of ACGC, Reagan Weinheimer of Nottoway Valley, and Alexis Post of Riverside were the top five. Also qualifying, Chloe Falcon of AHSTW, Grace Slater of Audubon, Sophia Broers of Nottoway Valley, Julia Cook of AHSTW, Kristen Hughes of Tri-Center, and McKenna Hogan of Lennox. On the boys' side in that 1A meet, Earlham, Nottoway Valley, and Woodward Academy were the qualifiers for the teams. Individually, Josh Bowdler of Nottoway Valley was the champ yesterday. Noah Nelson of ACGC, runner-up. Also qualifying, Noah Jorgensen of Sydney, Justin Ambrose of Booyer Valley, Adam Thompson of Sydney, Brett McGee of Tri-Center, John Frankie of Tri-Center, Clay Bilheimer of ACGC, and Tyler Braheny of Nottoway Valley, all state qualifiers. Also in Class 4A yesterday, the qualifying meet held at Lewis Central High School. On the girls' side, Lewis Central's Haley Bach qualified for state. On the boys' side, Aiden Booten of Thomas Jefferson, Wee Mac Gilo of Thomas Jefferson, and Aiden Rudloff of Lewis Central all were state qualifiers. Well, the AHSTW Vikings football team will clash with the St. Albert Falcons tonight with the Class A District 9 title on the line. We'll have coverage of that. That'll be our broadcast game tonight as the Vikings look to remain undefeated and carry strong momentum into the playoffs next week. AHSTW has been strong on both sides of the ball this season, and St. Albert coach Pat Ryan had high praise for the Vikings.
They're by far the best team that I've seen on film this year. We got the number one offense in the state, the number one defense in the state, the best tailback and middle linebacker in the state. There's no way around it. We're gonna have to play a perfect game. We're also gonna have to have a little bit of luck on our side, get a lucky roll here or there, to be in the game, and hopefully just at the end we get an opportunity and see what happens.
Blake Osbar has thrown for over 1,600 yards and 25 touchdowns for the Vikings, and Gabe Pauley has been a stalwart in the backfield, rushing for over 1,100 yards and 18 touchdowns. Coach Ryan said the Falcons will just hope to slow the Vikings down a bit and have a chance late in the game. The Falcons need the win to get into the playoff field, and Coach Ryan said his team is excited for the challenge. The Falcons have seen a young, inexperienced squad improve as the season has moved along, and AHSTW head coach Davis Pattee said they have a lot of weapons to contain.
They've got a ton of skill players that can make some great plays with the ball.
And I mean, just too many to list off, to be honest with you. But yeah, all their skill guys can line up in the slot, can line up out wide. They've had five, six different guys in the backfield that are really dangerous. You know, if you look up their stats, they've got a lot of guys. I think they got five guys with over 30 rushes or something like that. And almost all of them have the ability to take it to the house on a long run. That they don't need much daylight, and they're gone. So we really have to corral them well, keep the ball in front of us, and make sure we gang tackle, team tackle the football.
The Vikings and the Falcons are set for a 7 o'clock kickoff in Avoca tonight. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 6:30. Chris Parks and Mike Smith will have the call on air, online, on the web app, and live streaming video on our Facebook page tonight. You can tune in before the game for our weekly Pick'em show. Who's going to win? That's at 6 o'clock. And after the game, stay tuned for scores all over the state on this final night of the regular season on the Iowa High School Scoreboard Show starting at 10 o'clock this evening. Now, the Atlantic Trojan football team will be looking to end their season on a high note against Red Oak tonight. The Trojans are coming off a win last week over Shenandoah, 28-7. They hope to carry some momentum from that win into this week's matchup with the Tigers. The Tigers boast a strong ground attack with three rushers over the 600-yard mark on the season. Atlantic head coach Mike McDermott said Red Oak's toughness jumped out right away to him during preparation.
They're very impressive. I think 9 of their 11 starters are seniors. All 5 of their offensive linemen are seniors, and they're a physical football team to begin with. Well, that's the first thing I saw right away on film is how physical they play. And, you know, that's some pride out of those 5 seniors up front for them. They're going to run the football. I think they run it 80% of the time, even on third down. So we're going to have to match that physicality. And defensively, it's going to be important for us to get some 3-and-outs. And then offensively, again, control the football, keep our defense off the field. But, you know, Red Oak's so physical up front defensively, too, that I think we're going to eventually have to throw the football, and we're going to have to make some hay when we do that.
The Trojans have shown a lot of improvement on defense the last couple of weeks, and Coach McDermott said they'll need to continue to make plays up front to slow Red Oak down. 11 seniors will suit up for the last time at the Trojan Bowl this week, and Coach McDermott says they've provided some great leadership for the team. Trojans and the Tigers set for a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight at the Trojan Bowl. And you can hear more from Coach McDermott at 4:45 this afternoon on our Trojan Preview Show. It'll be a busy Friday night at the offices of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, where officials will set the pairings for next week's start of the high school football playoffs. Todd Tharp says the first chore will be to determine the 16 qualifiers in the 6 classes. Then the next step is to set the pairings, and Tharp hopes they'll be released sometime early Saturday morning.
I mean, early means early morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, somewhere in there. Not, you know, if we're here till 6 o'clock, then that's not good. But as soon as we get them all released, as soon as we get them all done, we're comfortable with them, we will release them. So we're talking early, early, early Saturday morning.
A new RPI system will determine at-large bids. As in past years, district champs are automatically in, and Tharp said that includes three-way ties if no team owns a tiebreaker. A head-to-head will be used to break a tie that involves two teams. Tharp says they'll not release a full bracket for each class and instead bracket through the quarterfinals. The remaining teams will then be reseeded before the semifinals.
You know, we'll try our best to see if we can separate, you know, the best we can, the top 4 teams in the RPI. We'll try and do our best to do that, but again, I cannot make any guarantees depending on who all qualifies to get in. Again, I'm not going to make somebody travel, you know, 300 miles just so that we can have that happen.
Opening round of the playoffs 1 week from tonight, October 26th. The Big 12 Conference announced its 2019 league football schedule Thursday. The conference shared that several conference games could still have date changes pending network television decisions. The Iowa State Cyclones will have 7 home games for the second straight season. Iowa State will open its season versus UNI on August 31st. They'll play host to Iowa 2 weeks later on September 14th. Iowa State begins Big 12 action at Baylor on September 28th and will play host to its first Big 12 opponent at home, as they host TCU on October 5th. Iowa State will have 2 bye weeks in next year's schedule. Well, the Denver Broncos made life miserable for Arizona quarterback Josh Rosen, ending a 4-game losing streak. Rosen had 2 interceptions returned for first quarter touchdowns and had 5 turnovers as the Cardinals absorbed a 45-10 beating by the Broncos last night. The Boston Red Sox are American League champs for the first time since their World Series run of 2013. David Price worked 6 shutout innings, and the Red Sox belted 2 home runs off Justin Verlander in a 4-1 victory over the Astros in Houston. Boston ended the Astros' reign as champions by sweeping the final 4 games. of that series. That victory means Chris Sale will likely be the Game 1 starter for Boston in the World Series. Manager Alex Cora said he expected his ailing left-hander to pitch Game 6 of the ALCS Saturday, unless Boston wrapped up the pennant last night. Cora says Sale threw off flat ground Thursday and was feeling better, since a stomach illness led him to spending a night in the hospital. Red Sox will open up the World Series at home against either the Dodgers or the Brewers. And Adam Wainwright will have to wait to become a free agent before his contract agreement with St. Louis Cardinals can be finalized. Two people familiar with the deal tell the Associated Press that Wainwright's agreement has been put on hold because his guaranteed salary could not be reduced by more than 20% if he remains on the roster continuously. The contract is worth less than the minimum of $15.6 million that he would have to receive to stay on the roster. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.